Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan, and today I am going to be talking about speed dating for Ghost. A description for this game is branching dialogue, hard choices, a cemetery's worth of phantoms, wraiths, and poltergeist, looking for love in all the blight places. So, a little production background on this game. It was developed by Copy Chaser Games, and this is actually their debut game. So, pretty cool, this being their first one. I believe that the guy who started Copy Chaser Games, which I think is like a one-person studio, used to work on like Mass Effect and like Dragon Age. I think they were a dev on those teams. So, cool that they got this going. And then, I guess last main thing about production is that this was part of the itch.io racial justice and equality bundle. As you've noticed, I've done a couple of these games in the last few months, and I'll probably continue that trend of doing them. There's so many games on there, and so far have all been quite enjoyable. So if you've got this bundle and are curious, I'd maybe play it before even listening to the episode, or you could play it afterwards and I think have different experiences and still enjoy it. So I guess with that, we'll get into the game itself. So the game is set up like this. First, you meet the, I guess, moderator for the speed dating, who is also a ghost, and they say, you can go into one of these three rooms. You choose one of the rooms, then inside you have three potential dates. And it's two rounds with each of them. So you'll talk to person number one, a bell will ring, person number two will come, a bell will ring, person number three will come, a bell will ring again, back to person one, do two again, do three again, and then after that, you can decide who you actually want to go on a date with. And also, I guess as a general structure for how these dates go, is it starts off, the first one's a little bit of like getting to know them sort of stuff, and then conversation two builds off that a little bit, maybe get a little deeper, that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's your basic setup for this game. The way I did it is I actually did three playthroughs, so I went to each of the three rooms you can choose from. So I'll just tell you about who I met in those rooms and what they were like, and then who I went on a date with and how that went. So playthrough number one, went in the first room. If you're playing the game, the rooms are from left to right, and whichever room you click on, I played them left to right, but there's three rooms available. You click on it, it'll tell you a little bit about the room, and then you'll meet your people. So, playthrough number one, though. I chose the far left, and first person I meet is Riley. Riley is a football player who is a bit of a bro and died right before college. They were in high school, they were like a really good wide receiver, setting records, doing a great job, my life's football. But they'd been having head trauma related to getting concussions and stuff. So they'd commented, yeah, you know, there were times where I was like, you know, felt like I was seeing stars or like, you know, got dizzy. But I didn't tell my coaches because I wanted to keep playing because I was doing well. And because I was doing well, I was someone. I was going to go to college. Everyone thought it was great. From playing football, and so here I am. And when you first talk to him, it's sort of a, oh, I'm a big football player, I'm attractive, and you know, that's what it sort of seemed like at first, that he was like the hot choice. But as I talked to him, something that was kind of cool was he was a bit deeper than expected. He was like, you know, football was always my life, but, you know, now as a ghost, that doesn't really matter, and I don't know. What do? I still love football, like, you know, I wish I could coach, or like, things like that, but there was a deeper side to him of like, I'm trying to figure this out, which was pretty cool. I liked that about him. Next up, you had Vera, who smoked the whole time, and you find out from her that she was a middle-aged woman who used to work for a casino boss out in Vegas in the 1950s. And so she was the executive assistant to this casino boss, like when Vegas was first coming up and it was, you know, a little shady. But she was the person who could get things done. And then one day she gets a call from the casino owner's son who says, "We need you to come into the casino. You got to be here right away. We'll tell you, you know, more. My dad needs you," kind of thing. And the son is like a 40-year-old guy, so not like a child son, but like an adult. And she gets there, and the casino owner is dead. He'd been stabbed. And so she was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is crazy. What's going on?" The son had two guys take her and the body of her dad, drive into the desert, and buried the body. But didn't kill her, and she was like, "I kind of thought they were going to kill me then." But didn't. She then goes home after this and, like, barricades herself in the house. And is like, "Well, they didn't kill me then. Maybe it's fine." And she wakes up to her house on fire, and she finds out that they killed her after the fact. Once they knew she was inside, they burned her house down inside with her in it. So, pretty intense, and I would say that she was pretty intriguing as well. I guess she had taken to as a ghost from this time on is that she goes and haunts rich people because rich people have secrets. So when she like scares them, they'll confess to something. And she was like, "I know that because that's how it was with my boss. And so, you know, this is kind of what I do now." And then lastly, you meet Stephanie. And at first, when you're talking to Stephanie, she doesn't realize that she was a ghost at first. You're like, "I'm a ghost." And she's like, "You're a ghost? What?" And you're like, "Yeah, we're all ghosts." As you talk with Stephanie, she realizes that she is a ghost too, but was, yeah, just taken kind of off guard. And also, Stephanie was wearing a mask when you got there, so it was like just kind of a basic face mask. It wouldn't have like facial features like the V from Vendetta mask, but kind of like that, I guess, is the vibe. As you talk to her, you find out that she died from brain cancer in her early years of college, and I guess that's partially why she has the mask on. So she ends up taking it off and has eyes, but her faces missing, and her body's like not goop exactly, but it sort of looks like that. She was like, "I was really nervous to do this, and you know, what do I look like?" And I was like, "You look like you." So I responded, I think, pretty kindly to her. And then a bell rings, and I have to decide who to go on a date with, and I chose to go with Stephanie. I thought that she was probably the person who needed a friend and a person in her life the most right now. Just seemed like life was hard at the end, and, you know, being a ghost is confusing now. And so I thought that would be best. So we went to the park and just talked, and it was nice. I really liked, spending time with her. I thought that was really good, and, yeah, good playthrough number one. I did like all of them, but I think just getting to know her story, I was like, I want to spend some time with you, for sure. So that's playthrough number one. Next up is playthrough number two. I chose the middle option for which speed dating room to go into. First up, I meet Caillou. Caillou is pretty anxious at first and is pretty just like nervous about everything, and kind of scared. I think they were scared of you when they walk in. They're like, "Oh, you're a ghost." And they're like, "We're all ghosts." And like, "Oh yeah." So they're pretty anxious. You find out that they ended up dying with friends on like a boat trip. They like, I don't know, either in grad school or something like that, they went on a trip with friends and they somehow sank, they fell off their boat and drowned somehow, and so they drowned. Pretty rough, but I did try to get to know them. But then a thing that did happen, as the more you talk to them, is they were really, really negative about everything. So tried to come up with like, "Well, we could do this," and they're like, "No, I hate doing that." I'm like, "Okay, well, what about this other thing?" I'm like, "I don't really like that either." So I feel like fresh off of talking to Stephanie, I was, I think, pretty prepared to want to spend time with Kylie. Like, okay, you've got some stuff going on. Like, let's see where I can help, kind of thing. So that was sort of them. Next up was Spooky Peter, who died during the plagues in the 1600s. And their thing was, I like to scare people as a ghost. This is like the entertainment I have. I like to haunt places when I scare people. It's fun. And they were really into the idea of like the perfect scare or the best scares. So they were like, it would be crass to just like, make someone fly around a room. That's not good scares. A good scare is like, a floor creaks over and over and it wakes them up. And then you get them to go somewhere and something else, makes a noise and it scares them. That's a good spook. That's how you do this. And so they were kind of fun, a little weird, because they died 400 years ago or whatever. But Spooky Peter was interesting. And then last up was Leon, who just wanted to rob a bank. So you talk with them at first, and they're like, "I want to rob a bank. Robbing a bank's the best. Like, it's the perfect crime. You know, we're ghosts. We can just take all the money and leave, and no one's gonna even know." And we're like, What do you need money for? We can't use it." And he's like, "Well, but the flesh bags like it. Let's rob a bank. This is fun." And I think because of the playthrough before this, I was feeling more serious. So I said, "No, I didn't want to rob a bank." And so Leon actually skipped our second session. He just left. didn't even do the rest of speed dating because I didn't want to rob a bank. So then I decided to go out with Spooky Peter. Yeah, I think Caillou was just negative enough that I didn't really want to do that. And Spooky Peter seems like it could be fun. But I would say this one was a little bit of a bummer because I would have totally taken any of the people from playthrough one over Spooky Peter. Like Vera or Riley, I think would have been fun more than Spooky Peter. But, I guess sometimes in speed dating you probably get a crappy hand, so to speak. But I went with Spooky Peter though, and we went to scare someone. And it didn't it he yeah we went to scare someone. He took us to a mirror in a funhouse and said that mirrors are the way, basically like portals to other places. And so we can go through mirror, if you're in a mirror, you can go through a mirror, out through a mirror anywhere else. We end up going out through a mirror. There's a guy sleeping. We try Peter's method, like, okay, let's make this noise go and stuff like that, and we're trying, it's not working. And then we realize that the person sleeping has earplugs in, so they can't hear us. So Spooky Peter's like, "Ah, foiled by technology." And so then we leave. So kind of a unsuccessful spooking attempt. So that's playthrough number two. And then last up, I went to door number three, room number three. That was the one on the far right. And first up, I meet Drea, who is a punk. So they talk about like, "Oh, I used to love to go to house shows and emo shows," and like, they're just like a dirty punk kid. Like, if you've seen the movie SLC Punk, this is exactly how I would imagine it. And they like to scare people. They're like, "Well, this is like the fun I can have since this is my life. And so I like to scare people. I think it's fun. I like having fun. Whatever kind of deal." Then next up is Hattie, who is an old lady who died in her old folks' home, and she haunts the old folks' home she used to live in, and she uses her ghost powers for good. So she tries to help residents. So, like if a resident isn't doing well, she'll, make the call the nurse button come so that they'll come help, or she'll like slam a door so the nurse will come investigate, or things like that. So she's like being there trying to just help keep things going, getting the other residents the help they need by just kind of interceding. So that's pretty interesting. She also will help them when they die. So once it's actually time, she'll talk to them and say, "Hey, there is an afterlife. This is what comes after. You won't be alone. It will be okay." Like that kind of stuff, which was really nice. I was like, "Wow, you're a really kind ghost," which was cool to see. And then last up was Gary, who I thought was a little abrasive at first, but you find out that he was stabbed, and that's how he died, but he doesn't know why he was stabbed, and so his memory regarding it is kind of messed up, but he'd like to figure it out. And for this one, I had a tough time choosing, but I decided to go with Drea. I think that the punk vibe I was feeling, I thought it was fun. So I decided to go that route, but Hattie was a strong consideration. I thought that her just being kind and good with her powers was pretty intriguing. But I decided to go on the date with Drea, and we decided to go back to her old apartment to haunt the people that live there. And it's pretty funny because you get to the old apartment and you can tell the area used to be run down, but now it's like nice, so it got like gentrified. And Drea's like, yeah, they ruined my old house. There's actually a Live, Laugh, Love poster on my wall. Like, these people. And, you know, you open up the refrigerator. There's, like, kale in it. There's, like, organic juice. Like, all this stuff like that. So you are like, okay, let's spook them. And what you end up doing is you... It's not a poster that says Live, Laugh, Love. It's like a... acrostics, but you can move the words. Like, it's not like refrigerator letters, but something that would be similar. So we changed it to like evil something leave, evil ghoul leave, or something like that. And so we change it to that, and they come home and they see it and they freak the hell out and they call the police, and we just laugh at them and then ultimately leave and are like, all right, well, we should do this again sometime. This was fun pranking these people. And that's my three playthroughs going through each door. So I will move on to a couple general thoughts. My first one is, I thought this was a fun little game. So each playthrough takes maybe a half an hour. So you could do all three playthroughs, yeah, I would say an hour, hour and a half-ish. It doesn't take too long. So I think that it's nice because it's pretty short. But also, I really like how it handled both being serious and being funny. I expected just a silly game going in. And so when I met Stephanie and talked to her and learned her backstory, I was like, oof, this sucks. This hurts. You know, I thought that was really great, but then I thought it was also pretty silly. Like Hattie, like, or not Hattie, but Drea, like being a punk and like all of that, or even Leon wanting to rob a bank. I thought that was fun, and I probably would have done that if I hadn't come from such an emotional spot right before that. So I thought that was cool, kind of a way of handling different kind of ghost you could run into in a speed dating thing, which I imagine is pretty similar to speed dating now. I've never done any speed dating before, but, you know, when you see it in movies or whatever, it's like, you know, there's, you know, people who are pretty wild card crazy, sort of like wild of people, and then probably people who are pretty mundane, or, you know, whatever. I'm sure you get a wide variety, and so it's kind of fun to see how that translates into Ghost. The next thing is pretty related, but I thought it was an interesting take on what Ghost would do. So you saw that some ghosts were, I would say, more kind of mean, that they enjoyed just terrorizing the living, and that was kind of their thing. They're like, well, you know, I'm dead, but, you know, I can, you know, just fuck with other people. This'll be fun. And then other ones are really sad and are just having a hard time with, I'm dead, I'm a ghost, I don't, you know, does what I do matter anymore, or that kind of thing. And also that some could be boring. When I was talking to someone, it might have been Riley, but this did come up quite a few times through my conversations of, you're not like other ghosts. You know, other ghosts are really evil, or they're really boring, or they're really sad. You care about people. You want to know about them. You ask questions or whatever. And I thought that was cool, just as a how this would go and getting to see this. So I thought that was pretty interesting as kind of options. And also through your conversations, there are dialogue options, so usually you have two choices, sometimes you have three. So you could be like hostile or negative towards people. So I think I kind of played my personality more or less, of like, oh, this is what I would do, or here's what I would think. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I guess last general note that I've got is I was looking online and it looks like there's 16 total characters. So there's, I think seven then, because I'm at nine. So yeah, seven characters I actually didn't even meet, which I was surprised by. I didn't expect that. So I might have to go back and play more and see if I get other combinations of people or what dates are like with certain players or any of that. But I thought it was pretty fun as a general thing for sure. And to wrap up, I've got a little bit of listener feedback. First up, we've got Tanya on Twitter who says, I really enjoyed it. It started out a bit breezy light, but each ghost, and I ended up dating a few, ended up being thought-provoking. Gary was unsettling and intriguing in an unpleasant way that I loved. I thought that's great. I could see that for Gary for sure. Just as you were kind of figuring things out, slash Gary was figuring them out, it was a little wild. And yeah, I think if my combination was different, I would have considered going on a date with him for sure. It was interesting. And then last up, got Bruna on Twitter who says, loved it. So sweet and endearing with some funny moments to lighten up. Caillou was my fave. So that's pretty interesting. I agree too. Sweet and endearing, light moments. You do get both. And I think that they really handled this well in the making of the game. Is you're dealing with death, which of course is pretty serious, but then you're dealing with like humor or how you work within this of like, I'm a ghost, here's what's going on. I thought they navigated that really well, and I'm really impressed by that. I think that they really handled this good. And then Caillou being the favorite, I'm yeah, that's awesome. I like that you like them. I don't know if maybe my dialogue options just led me to having a weird conversation with them that wasn't great, but that's awesome. That's cool to hear. So yeah, this is Speed Dating for Ghost. If you've got any more thoughts on this game, please write in. I'd love to hear them. Also, if you've got suggestions from the itch.io racial justice and equality bundle, that'd be great too. Yeah, I assume I'm going to keep doing these games, so if you have ideas or ones you'd like to hear, I'd like to hear about it. That'd be good to be able to choose well at that. Otherwise, you can check out our backlog of episodes at thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. I also did do a blog post that will link all the itch.io episodes on it, so you could find the ones we've done that way if you'd like. Our Twitter is at StoryEverPod. We can talk there. I'm pretty active on there, so if you want to talk, I'm all down. I'm down. And then if you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. And that will get you access to some special topical bonus episodes that we release each month. So we've done things like we ranked the Life is Strange episodes. We talked about our favorite video game franchises. Stuff like that. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, check that out. And the donation is $1 per month minimum. So yeah, not much. But if that interests you, check that out. Also, if you'd just like to support the podcast but not financially, that's totally cool. We'd appreciate any support you want to give. But you could do that by rating and reviewing us on the podcast platform you use. You know, Apple Podcasts lets you review. That's a main one. Also, Podchaser does. They're pretty active on that, too. So you could check those out. We'd really appreciate that. And we'd read your review on the show, too. But, yeah, I guess that is our episode. And we'll see you next time.